Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Vantine. Join us as we dive into the normal and the paranormal to break through the darkness and to help you realize how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of understanding. This is the place where we build the karmic connections between science, psychology, and spirituality. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join us for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth, no-nonsense, practical perspective. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Laura and Tina, Better Karma for Better Living, starts now. Whether we're aware of it or not, and we don't live in a bubble, and everyone's actions and reactions echo out and often collide. Our passion is to offer you a new way of looking at life so that perhaps you can improve your karmic path.
Sounds like a great idea.
And you know what? I did it right this week.
Good. Okay.
Hey, before we get started, I forgot to ask you, is my hair okay?
Yeah, your hair is okay.
All right. Jesus. Headphones do great things for bad hair days.
Yeah, your lashes look okay too.
Thanks. All right. So we want to start out with the month of February. We're giving away two books a week. And last week's winner, Janina, just kind of like melted our hearts a little bit. She wrote back. She's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I needed this today. Karma clearly doesn't waste energy. And I thought that was kind of fun.
That was cool. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
I wonder where she heard that.
And this week's winners are Renee and Sasha, and we've reached out to both of you. And thank you so much for joining in and signing up for our email list and joining us every week.
This week's show is all about the issue of past life fears and how they can affect you. And is there such a thing as a fear that can come from a past life issue, which I think is frankly pretty exciting and fascinating because I know it certainly happened to me. Everything comes down to energy and vibration. Okay. That sounds like a real yawner, right?
Yeah, I know. I see you're talking and I'm looking at my phone.
Okay. Get hot.
Actually, I'm looking at the Facebook chat room so I can say hi to people.
It seems like fear is lurking around every corner and it's waiting to pounce on us and grab us. And whether it's politics or the news or environmental issues, and everybody's angry. Oh my gosh, the stock market, taxes. Oh my gosh.
Guns and vaccines and education and blah, blah. Everything is an issue lately.
And so why would we talk about a past life issue?
We could just go right today.
We could just go to today. We're just going to add insult to injury.
But the issue becomes we're addressing past life fears because sometimes we may have an illogical fear that we don't understand that stops us from growing or progressing the way we may want to. So we're going to be talking today about some of our personal past life fears and issues and going through some things that can help you identify that and maybe solve that issue for you.
Or maybe exactly solve it or identify it. Because if you can figure out what it is you're afraid of, then maybe you don't have to be afraid. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, I know we're not in Kansas anymore. Unfortunately, a lot of us are still in Kansas.
And Kansas is not a bad place.
And did you notice on the Wizard of Oz that the situation with Toto and you know, Elvira Gulch, it wasn't Elvira.
I have no idea.
Anyway, Miss Gulch was never resolved. They all came back and the dog still had a warrant on his head when they closed the movie. And I can well imagine they would meet each other again in another life and she would still think that this woman hates dogs. Well, maybe that's somebody you've met recently. Maybe that person you meet just really, really bothers you and they hate your dog and it feels familiar, but you can't quite put your finger on it. And it's causing you a lot of anxiety. So let's take a second and look at what does fear do to the body? What does it look like?
We want to address what fear can do to the body because it creates issues within our body. And these bodies, like we said before, are merely rental units, right? We're a soul and we're using this body for right now for this mortal experience. All right. So fear to the body can create an acidic body, meaning a body that can break down faster.
This can lead to illness. It can lead to the feeling of chronically being tired or afraid, that endless stress that never seems to leave you. You can feel fogged. And sometimes it can cause you to react irrationally. Some will go, well, why did you react that way? It's just, you know, whatever that sentence
is. It's just water.
It's just, yes, but what if that water is really scary?
Right.
So looking at that as an element of what caused you to be afraid of that person, place, thing, experience, country, vehicle, horse, dog, whatever.
Whatever it is. And we also want to talk about the spiritual law that goes with this. What we fear the most, we seem to attract. And that just bites.
It does. What you fear the most.
You didn't expect me to say that, did you?
That's okay. Because a lot of people go, oh, God, I hate that. Unfortunately, karma gives you a bunch of do-overs. This whole thing where people say, it's YOLO, you only live once. Yes. Newsflash.
We get many chances. In fact, you know, I used to be secretly mad at you way back when.
And that was because?
Because you say, well, when you don't need the experience anymore, it'll stop happening.
Yeah, it was true. That was really irritating.
It's true, but it is irritating. All right. So one of the things that we're going to keep going back to throughout this whole hour is that when you become afraid of something and you're feeling it come on, think of one true thing. My dog loves me.
Well, let's take Karl Lagerfeld.
Okay.
Karl Lagerfeld, we're kind of dating this show, but Karl Lagerfeld was the head designer for the House of Chanel, and Karl Lagerfeld designed and Fendi and a bunch of other places. And his one true thing he knew to be something that filled his heart was the love of his cat.
All right. And he lives in a very public eye. He's got a lot of people that may be wanting pieces of him for not the greater good. So that would make sense. His cat becomes his safe space.
And his heir, because his cat's going to receive $185 million. It is one pricey cat. However, the cat also made money for him. The cat made $3 million for him because the cat had its own webpage.
All right, so back to Karl Lagerfeld. His one true thing was probably my cat loves me.
That was his one true thing.
When you're coming up with some type of fear, or you feel that fear is building up in you, or you're feeling uneasy, stop what you're doing, detach yourself from that moment, and think of what is your one true thing. And what that's going to do is that's going to ground you, and it's going to stop your mental thoughts for a moment.
That kind of a mouse in a wheel going around in your head.
So afraid of my boss. I'm afraid I'm going to get fired or whatever it is. But when I get home, I get to go home to my dog, or I get to go home to my husband.
You always get to go home to your dog.
My dog just loves me more than...
And he's a really...
He's a really great dog. He's rather needy.
He is.
He is a little needy. He gets jealous of when Tina and I are talking on the phone working, and he starts, which she calls him Moaning Murphy, because he starts moaning for her attention, for my attention from her.
Doesn't want my attention.
No. Anyways, so think of one true thing. And like I said, it's gonna ground you. It's going to cause you to pause and shift your mental focus. And this is really important, because you start to get your power back little by little when you do this.
When you're thinking of this one true thing, and we said, you know, your cat loves you, or your dog, maybe you know that your mom really loves you, or maybe you have a parent that you dearly adored and that parent has passed away. Whether or not they're physically with you, they still love you. That is one true thing. Or something you know to be true about yourself. You're a person of high moral standards or great ethics. You give your best every day. People think, oh, you know, I should have done better. I should have. Most people don't wake up and say, gee, I think I'm going to, you know, do a really bad job today. Most people, the vast majority of people, this is certainly true of my crew. I didn't have a single crew member who ever worked for me. And sometimes I had 150.
You didn't have a single crew member that ever worked for you?
That came to work and decided to do a bad job that day.
Okay.
And I had 150 guys work for me at any given time. And sometimes they were really tired, or they'd been on watch, and maybe they weren't actually doing their very best. But their mindset, one of the one true things I always knew was that my crew was going to give the Navy, I'm irrelevant, I just happen to be the person behind that desk at that moment, it's going to give the Navy their very best. I think that that's an important place to be when you're understanding what is one true thing. And maybe companies come and go. Maybe sometimes marriages come and go. And you think, I shouldn't have married that person. But if you go back to the one true thing, if when you married that person, you did truly love them and you did truly feel that they loved you, then you have the ability, which is one true thing, to know that in that moment it was true. Maybe that can take away the guilt or the fear or the doubt. Maybe that puts you in a place of, yes, I did believe that was true. You can't run around doubting yourself and being terrified of a new relationship.
All right. And this show is really about past lives and past life hauntings of and past life fears. And we're going to get into that. But we kind of wanted to build a logic trail before we go back a bit, because that logic trail helps us to be grounded in science, and it's logical and it's easy to follow.
And when we're looking at past lives, sometimes it seems like childhood was a lifetime ago, depending on what your age is.
And it I look really good for 140.
Yes. When you're looking at past lives, sometimes you have repressed memory of something that happened in childhood. And it's difficult sometimes to know what that truly is. Is it childhood? Is it a past life? How far back does it go? What do I need to know about that? Oh my gosh, should I have a regression? And are those kinds of things necessary to figure out what my past life here is? If you sit back and you think about who in your life feels familiar, who other than the people you all automatically know, think back to people that you've met, and there was something about them that was familiar, and you were familiar.
Yes.
I just didn't know. You just look really tired. And when we cleaned away the fatigue, like, yes, but you're
familiar. We're going to pause this.
Okay.
And we're going to be back after these commercials. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio, and we want to thank our sponsors, The Oil Lounge. And when we come back, we're going to share a couple little things about what Tina was discussing. So we'll be right back shortly.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you new to playing with the law of attraction, or a seasoned pro looking for an easy and organized way to monitor your co-creation endeavors as you draw them from the immaterial planes into your physical reality? Then join me over at goldenotter.us for bi-monthly new and full moon rituals, where we plant seeds of intention, then harvest the fruits of our desires as part of a dynamic community in the members-only Lunar Manifestations Forum. I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Otter Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream, and I can't wait to meet you.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak, and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order the Hearts Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. We've been discussing fear, and we're ready to dive into past lives. But before we get started, we kind of want to talk about the concept of a past life because it's a controversial topic. And the truth is that we all reincarnate. We are all spiritual beings. And right now we're having these human experiences while we're in this mortal body. And I have to laugh at Scott on Facebook who says, yeah, they're not getting their deposit back on this rental body.
Probably not.
Probably not. You never know. All right. Believe it or not, the Bible used to have the concept of reincarnation in it, as did many of the holy texts. And in the Council of Nicaea in 528, it was removed because of the Empress Theodora wanted it removed because of her prostitute ways. So she had that removed so that way it wouldn't be discovered who or what she was.
In a future life.
In a future life. So can you imagine the karma of that? So it was actually a concept that used to be in the Bible and it was taken out. The truth is we all don't live just one life. We don't, you know, when we die, we don't sit on a cloud and play the harp forever. We come back because we have things to do. It's called soul evolution.
And I think that's an important concept. So let's have a life. Let's have a story. And I have an awareness of a fear of water. I didn't, you know, consciously think about it. You know, you're a little kid. You go to the swimming pool, maybe. And I never would go that much. I mean, I go in the water and it was a little bit fun, but swimming is not my big deal. And I realized this was really an issue when I joined the Navy. And so if you have this, you know, karma puts you.
What did we say? You attract what you fear.
And so if you're afraid of water and you join the Navy, you've got to come face to face with that fear of water.
You might get wet.
You might get wet. So I'm an officer candidate school because when I joined the Navy, you could not go. You couldn't become an officer any other way except through officer candidate school back in the really dark ages. And they had us jump from this huge diving board into the swimming pool, but the bottom of the pool was painted white, so it looked like you were jumping to your death. It was horrible. And I remember my terror was so great, that and the fear of heights, that between the two things, I was just really not having a good day. And I used to wait till 95 women were in the pool, and I kind of slipped aside. And then we had the day where they wanted all of us to pretend that the ship was sinking and, you know, we were jumping into burning water and being pursued by sharks. And that was the day that I was burned to a crisp and eaten alive because I'm not a strong swimmer. And I couldn't understand where this fear of water came from, but I recognized over a period of time, especially after I met my husband, not that he was responsible for it, that really came out wrong. But when I met my husband, a lot of things started to come to me faster. I drowned in a lot of lifetimes. And so this lifetime, I am facing that fear, whether I thought I wanted to do that or not. Karma doesn't always give you a choice. And it's worked out very, very well because of my husband's always helped me when it comes to the water issue. And I think I knew that there was an issue. I faced it. I'm aware of what it is. And I'm actually aware of the past lives that it pertains to. And how would you remember that? Is there this little part of your brain? And there is. It's called
The subconscious? Yes. And the subconscious is our eternal memory recorder. And it never stops recording, even when we're sleeping. If we're in a coma, it's recording the events that's happening.
Or you're under anesthesia.
Under anesthesia. And it keeps going lifetime after lifetime. And now the issue becomes, sometimes the subconscious doesn't know what time it is. Meaning, Tina's afraid of water, but she's in a safe place where she's not going to be drowned as a witch. So,
so glad.
Yeah, me too, because this is way more fun.
This is way more fun.
So our subconscious is our eternal memory recorder. And sometimes we can have access to those past memories, and there's a variety of ways to do that. But before we go into that, I'm going to put a caveat on this. And that is, if you ever want to have a past life regression, never, ever, ever have somebody say, oh, I know your past lives, because you don't know if that's true or not. And it's going to taint your karmic path, your future.
And the reason that you don't want somebody to do that, or the person who says, oh, I'm going to access your Akashic records. Well, let's back up even a little bit further and identify what is an Akashic record. We have something called Akka cords. It comes from the Hawaiian Huna tradition. And AKA.
And she's actually pointing at our solar plexus.
You can't see that. I'm pointing at my solar plexus. And we're connected to everything we've ever touched, every place we've ever been, and every person we've ever met. And our subconscious is recording that through those Akka cords. It's actually quite logical. And all of those experiences are recorded in how we respond to them and what happens to us. That's why we have memory that seems to transcend time and space. So don't ever let anybody touch your Akashic record. That's a really bad thing to do. And believe me, anybody who tells you they can erase them, why would you want the karma of the good things you did also erased? That would be a terrible thing.
And they can't erase them. It's a lie.
That's just not. That's
absolutely. Can I be more blunt?
It just truly is not true. Okay, so you have a story.
All right. So for me, one of the past lives, I didn't know this at the time, and it took a long time until I became an old adult to figure out what was happening. I know, right?
Did you make that up?
No. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
All my life, I was afraid of snakes. And they would appear. I remember being a little kid, and I think my brother and I were, we lived in a house, and across the field and down the hill was a lake. And we would skip through the field to go to the lake. And I remember one time the snake and my, 10-year-old body or 8-year-old body or whatever it was, literally wrapped itself around my leg, slithered up my body and off my arm. And oh my God, was I freaked out.
Well, anybody would be freaked out at that.
Oh my God.
That doesn't mean you have a past life here.
No, but what was happening is that snakes kept ending up in my life to the point.
Or your lap, right?
Or my, yeah. And I remember another instance where some friends of ours own horses, and they asked one of my daughters and I if we wanted to go horseback riding with them because their horses needed exercising. And normally, oh, great, it'd be fun. And I'm like, oh God, they want to go in the hills and it's snake season. And I literally told the woman no. I didn't tell her why, but I didn't want to be coming across some rattlesnakes while I'm riding a horse. And I told her no, and I robbed my daughter and myself of this experience, which wasn't fair of me to do to her. And lo and behold, you know what happened that night?
What?
A rattlesnake shows up on my back patio, stretched across the sliding door of our bedroom. It's like, did karma just bite me in the butt?
I think it's, when you look at the snake, it has a function in nature.
They have no limbs. That's just wrong.
Well, neither does really a newt or an earthworm.
Okay.
Or a squid. I mean, it does have kind of arms,
yeah,
but not
little tiny tentacles. All right, yeah. So anyways, yes, snakes do have a purpose. They keep the vermin down, et cetera. And I was having snakes coming back over and over and over. And then I was doing something, and I had this instant past life recall happen. And I thought, oh my God, this is why I'm afraid of snakes. And so now, because I was more consciously aware of it, I'm not as afraid of them. If I were to see a snake, I'd still probably walk the other way, but I probably wouldn't run. So you look at these things that you're afraid of and try to find the logic trail behind it. And for me, I was lucky because for some reason, karma wanted me to see that moment in time in a past life. And but you don't have to have that to figure this stuff out.
So if you have a fear of a type of animal, whether it's a snake or it's water, or it's, you can address it. Maybe that fear is not necessarily needed in this lifetime. Maybe those things aren't part of this lifetime's experience. I mean, it's a worthwhile thing. What about people you meet and you have that instant recognition,
that instant attraction, like you've been never missed a minute, or that instant repelling feeling like stay away?
And I think that this happens to people more often than they realize. They have instant recognition and recoil, but they can't put their finger on it. They'll go, why do you hate that guy so much? And you go, I don't know. I just have this bad feeling. Maybe that's past life. And you don't run around telling someone, because again, it's a violation of spiritual law to tell someone what their past life is. And if you're a psychic and you're around telling people they were great healers in Atlantis, that's not a good thing to do.
No, apparently everybody was a great healer from Atlantis.
Probably, yeah. But probably not necessarily. To do healing, that's a whole other story. We're going to do another show on healing, not today.
And we're going to go to commercial in a few minutes, but we're going to take the next segment and talk about what triggers and what things that you can look for to help identify past lives that you may have lived. And also we've mentioned the book thing, right? Yes. So if sign up for our email, follow us on the Karmic Path Facebook page, and we will be putting your name in for a drawing. And we're very excited about that. And congrats to Renee and Sasha this week. You are listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio, and we will be back in a few minutes.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo, live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit GlennaRice.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Welcome back to the Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. We want to say thank you to our sponsors at the Oil Lounge. You can go visit them at theoillounge.com, and I believe they have some new oil recipes up also. All right, before we talk about what to look for clues to past lives, we want to kind of address, I want Tina to address subconscious fears.
We have a conscious, and that's who's talking to you, is the conscious part of me. We have a subconscious, and the job of the subconscious is to keep us alive, makes our heartbeat and our eyes blink and our hair grow. And that's the job of the subconscious. And the subconscious is the gatekeeper to higher self. And that's a huge concept. The subconscious is the gatekeeper to higher self. In most people's subconscious is frozen at the age of their earliest trauma. I'm going to repeat that. A person's subconscious can very much be frozen at the age of their earliest trauma. I certainly saw this with my father. His father died when he was six. And a lot of times I saw my father was a six-year-old in an adult body. And once I understood this concept, it made everything about him make sense.
Think about that. Think about those around you and how you may have a personality around you that may chronically act a little immature. They may have had something happen to them that you don't know about, and that can cause that to happen.
If someone was abused at a very early age, it can be in any type of abuse. A lot of times that part of them is frozen in fear at that point of their earliest trauma.
And this can happen from our past lives as well.
Because sometimes you can have something happen to you in a past life. Sometimes people have a lot of problems sleeping. In a lot of past lives, people were attacked at night. So a person may have had a terrible trauma where their tribe was attacked at night, their ship was attacked at night, their village, whatever. There was a robber that came in. And that memory causes them to have this fear of going to sleep. They never quite put their finger on it. And when you understand that the subconscious sometimes can't tell time, can't remember exactly which era you're in or which lifetime you're in, then you can begin to understand this issue of past life fears and early childhood fears. So Laura, I know you have a great story about this happening from a past life.
So I got a phone call from a friend of mine who really has no clue what I do or who I am or whatever. And she called me up and she says, "I don't know why I'm calling you, but I need to call you. You know, my kid is about ready to go to Spain and for a study abroad program. And he now has spiked a fever and he's going to miss his plane. I'm not sure why I'm calling you." And I said, "Well, let me see what I can do." I said, "With your permission, I want to kind of remote view his body." And that means you're looking through the body on a psychic level to see what's happening. And I'm looking at him and all of a sudden I could see, and by the way, let me preface it with, this kid has terrible eyesight, was born with terrible eyesight.
Almost blind.
And I'm looking at him and I'm looking at his subconscious frozen and paralyzed. And the subconscious part of him is making him sick so he doesn't go to Spain.
Because the subconscious is frozen in fear.
And by the way, the subconscious is as old as he was then. This is several years ago. And I looked at the subconscious and I said, "What's happening?" And the subconscious starts showing me the Inquisition. And this kid had his eyes gouged out by the Inquisition at the same age. So that's why he spikes this fever. There's nothing wrong with the kid. I calmed his subconscious down and I requested that this kid travel with a pack of angels from the minute, you know, he gets in the car on the way to the airport to the minute he gets home to stay with him, to help him, to protect him, and help him understand that this time it will be different. And within an hour, I get a phone call back from the mom saying, I don't know what happened, but his fever is gone and he's ready to go. And he's excited to go now. He was never really fully excited. And what we did was we brought to light an issue that he had no knowledge of.
And you didn't tell him.
I never told him. I never told his mom, because that would be wrong of me. We fixed the problem. I was asked to fix the problem. Now, the subconscious was the same age that he is now when he had his eyes gouged out. Does karma bring us back to these situations for a form of healing?
I think that's a really good concept. Good job.
Well, every now and then I get an idea. Yeah. So my thought was, is that he now has the ability to go back to this country where these horrors happened to him. There's no land out there really where there hasn't been something horrific happening on it. Very few places. Spain, not one of them. And he was able to go back and he had a trip of his lifetime. And he no longer had that issue. He no longer spiked the fever and he had a great time. So did karma bring him back so he could have some kind of resolution, even though he's not consciously aware of it?
I would say yes. Let's make a decision.
Okay, let's make a decision.
We can't make a decision because
the commander's making a decision.
He never does that. And is this just a one-time bizarre situation? And I'm going to say no, it's not.
Okay.
Because I have, ironically, a slightly different story, but unfortunately, it also does regard Spain.
And actually, this story is in your book, Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View. And I think it's in that third volume.
It's in the first volume.
First volume.
Okay. It's in one of the books. There's three great books, so it's a trilogy. And in this particular story, I get a phone call from my neighbor's son, and he and his sister took a college vacation, and their dad sent both of them to Spain, and they were in Madrid. And I knew they were making this trip, and I didn't think anything of it. In the middle of the night, I get this phone call, late in the evening, I get a phone call from the son, and he says, you have got to help me, because my sister can't stop throwing up, and she's having horrible diarrhea, and it's a really bad situation, and I don't know what to help her. And I said, I have to be responsible. Your dad's a physician. Did you call him first? Occam's razor, the simplest solution. And he says, yeah, he told me to call you because
the doctor told me to call a psychic.
Because he's 9,000 miles away and you have this odd skill. And I said, did your sister give permission? Because she is over 18. He said, yes, she's given me permission. Because he said, I know you. You would ask permission first. I said, okay. And when I looked at her body, and what I saw was this young woman about the same age, again, you go back to heal what harmed you, was being tortured by the Inquisition. And I'm not going to go into the detail of what they did, but it was horrible for her. And she died in this, at the end of this torture. And she was in a place which was a museum about the Inquisition. And when her subconscious saw it, the years faded away. It was whatever year that was, the 1500s, 1400s, and I don't know what year it was because she didn't know what year it was. But for her subconscious, it was today. It was right now. It was this moment. And her subconscious was terrified because the energy of torture is still in those walls and those buildings where it took place. So I did the same thing you did. I gave her a ton of healing and provided angels to assist her, and was able to get the symptoms to stop and her fever to stop and all of these symptoms she was having. And because I had told her brother that if I'm not successful, you're going to have to take her to an emergency room, but give me an hour or two. And he called me back very, very concerned. And he said, she's a lot better. She's just exhausted. And I said, I have to ask you, did you go to see an Inquisition museum? And he said, oh my God, how could you know that?
Because there's none in Spain.
Because it's what happens. I mean, people go to these places because it's part of history. It's not a criticism. It's just part of history. He said, yeah. And he said, then we went to dinner and we ate the same thing. And I couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, let's just say she had a past life trauma there. It's not up to me to tell you what it was. If she wants to know, she will have to ask me. And I can go over to a degree what occurred. And if she never asks me, that's okay. And to this day, she never asked. She never said a word to me. It's as if that door is closed. And he said that they did have a really, he talked to me when he got back. They had a great trip the rest of the time, but it took her a whole day to recover. She was horribly sick. And I've had someone else tell me they have that same feeling when they're in Italy, because the Inquisition was all over the place. I had that same feeling in New England. I just felt this irrational fear. And it seemed irrational to the people around me because I had no basis for it.
Well, and it's a very real fear, right?
For the subconscious, the fear is real. And it's from a past life. Whether, I mean, if somebody says, would you like to take a cruise? It's like, you've got to be kidding me. Why would I do that? Deliberately go to sea? We know about rogue waves and everything else. Didn't you not see the Poseidon Adventure? The point of it is, if you have something that took place in a past life, even if you don't know about it, that fear can be registering with your subconscious and you can be reacting to it. And whether it's logical for somebody else is irrelevant. It's what's happening to you.
All right. So we were going to talk about some things to look for to kind of find some keys or triggers to identify some past lives that you may have. We're going to do that in the next segment because we do need to go to the break. We're going to mention the oillounge.com. We actually had somebody write into us saying, hey, do those oil people know anything about bed bugs? I go to a lot of hotels and I'm really scared about bed bugs. And so we asked them about it.
Past life.
Past life. All right. So we asked them about it and they posted some recipes on the oillounge.com. And I think they might be on the Transformation Talk Radio page. So check that out, The Oil Lounge. Sign up for their email. They are full of amazing and great information. You are listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
It's time to step into the power of yes. Creating the life you want is up to you. The power comes from saying yes to ourselves, yes to possibilities, and yes to change. Are you ready? Start achieving your goals and moving life in the direction you want. Tune in each month to Yes Minded Power Radio with Barbara Scheidegger to start living your future now. For more information about the show and working with Barbara, visit yesmindedpower.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Gen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Darcy Pariso is your connection to spirit, energy, and healing. You can meet Darcy in person at upcoming events throughout Seattle. Do you have questions? questions about your animal companions, yourself, or do you desire to communicate with loved ones on the other side? Darcy will connect you and get answers. Darcy can also work with energy healing to help you and your animal companions feel more balanced and recharged. Visit darcypariso.com/events.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path. We're now going to talk a little bit about the clues that you can use to find what may be causing a past life fear. And I want to point out that a lot of times someone says, you know, if you fall off that horse, you got to get right back on that horse, or you fall down, you got to get right back up. But if what the trauma was killed you, a little bit hard. So karma brings you back so that you can face it again.
And sometimes karma will bring us back in a different manner or in a different way, so the lesson isn't exactly the same. When we're looking at past lives and past life clues, ask yourself, you know, what are your interests? Do you love, you know, cars and repairs, and or maybe it's military, or maybe you love certain art forms? What do you feel in resonance with? What kind of art is hanging on your walls, or what kind of languages are you drawn to speak, or what kind of countries would you love to go to? If you had your wish to go anywhere, where would it be?
Or what countries would you absolutely not going to go there?
Right. And look around at your friends and family. We do pick our parents and we pick our family, and we have a contract to come in and reincarnate with certain soul groups or family groups. And within these soul groups and family groups, we have all kinds of players. We're not all going to get along all the time. Karma puts us together to work things out. And if you come across somebody that you just love to death and you can't get enough of this person, chances are there's a past life there. But the opposite can be true. If you come across a person and they make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, there might be something there also.
If you happen to know, or maybe not know, that someone who's in your life causes you a great deal of fear, but in this life, it doesn't make sense because they've always been really good to you, but you still have this fear, you can't quite put your finger on it. Maybe that person wasn't, let's say they didn't give you their very best in another life. And this is the lifetime they've been given the karmic opportunity to do a better job of being with you, or to being your parent, brother, sibling, boss, neighbor, girlfriend, whatever. Because people do bad things to one another, but they're going to be given an opportunity to work it out. That's what happens. And sometimes you can get a real clue about past lives by looking at color.
Yes.
For instance, I know there are many men who despise the color red, black, and yellow, because they died in a lot of wars, and red represented the blood of fallen comrades. Yellow represented infection. I mean, I know some people, if you eat anything yellow, and they almost get physically sick. And I think that must have been something that happened. And so instead of teasing them about it or pushing them about it, just respect that that person doesn't like that color. And black would be basically the black of death, that person just can't stand that.
And that's, you know, one aspect to look at, you know, color, but you can look at geographically your locations that you're at or people that you're with, and also realize that all of these experiences we're having now is a part of our karmic path, our soul path, so that hopefully our soul can learn to evolve to higher and better levels of service.
And I do see some interesting past life examples with physicians. If you think about a physician, most of them have been doctors of some kind, life after life after life, because this life, by God, they're going to save that person. They're going to study it or learn it. But sometimes a person's life as a physician, let's take Civil War doctors for an example. There are many physicians who were physicians in the Civil War. And it was exhausting. They didn't have pain medication. They were doing horrible amputations. And the suffering that they witnessed, encountered, and experienced, and this was a pretty recent life. A lot of this life, a lot of times this life, they cannot be surgeons. They can take another element of medicine, but being a surgeon puts them in a position where your heart just isn't in it, but they still want to help people. And if that, and again, this would be the person who couldn't stand red or yellow.
Right. Yeah, a little bit.
I worked with some of those people. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And do you have natural talents? Are you, you know, musically inclined? Are you athletically inclined? You know, are you into science or astronomy? That can be clues to your past life as well, or many past lives. Because if you look at a child musician or child prodigy, the four-year-old who's playing piano like Mozart.
Like Alma.
Alma. Well, yeah, I think she's a singer.
And a composer.
And a composer, and an, you know, sings the opera. She didn't just decide to do this one day. She has spent many lifetimes honing those skills.
And karma is fascinating because karma wants to give you so many opportunities. They're saying that Alma is the reincarnation of Mozart. I have no idea if this kid's Mozart.
We don't know.
She says Mozart sounds like Alma. This kid has a lot of confidence at 10. And she writes all of the operatic music and the symphonic music, and she's improving on Mozart. That's not a gift. This is a honed ability. Right. Whether she is or isn't is irrelevant. This kid knows something, and she's not afraid of it. So this isn't a particular fear.
Exactly. And again, when you come across some kind of irrational fear you have, step back and detach yourself and go back to one true thing. What is one true thing for you? Because again, that grounds you. It detaches you from that situation. It kind of takes that fear away.
And if you're able to do that, if you do have spontaneous memory, and that happens to many people, I knew one woman that remembered 15 past lives in detail. She was very good about not telling other people who were in her lives with her. But she said, I absolutely no longer fear death because I know I'm coming back. I just got to make sure I do a good job each lifetime.
Yeah, a really good book on this, by the way, is Many Lives, Many Masters.
By Brian Weiss.
Brian Weiss.
He's a psychiatrist who was able to cure a woman's mental illness, schizophrenia, through understanding the traumas that had happened to her in past lives and resolve the mountains of fear this poor young woman had. She's a very different person today. And that flew in the face of what psychiatry believes can happen. But Brian Weiss is truly a trailblazer. And my hat is off to him for having the courage to share that with so many people.
And if you have a fear that keeps you up at night, role play in your head, what is the worst possible thing that can happen to you? And go through those details, because what you're doing is you're putting it out in the open and you're diffusing that fear energy. And chances are the worst thing that's going to happen to you would never happen anyways.
And if it seems irrational, don't discount yourself. Write it down. Ask why you're having it.
Exactly. And, you know, go through your fears and keep a journal, keep something going on. So that way you can start to look for the patterns and look for that logic trail, because we're really all about science and grounding and creating that logic trail for all that we're doing and talking about. I'm sorry. She has a fear of coughing on air. Sorry, Tina. All right. So when you have a fear, you're going to own it. You're going to say, okay, what is my one true thing? You can also go through again and say, all right, what's the worst case scenario for this thing? And just recognize that it's irrational. Because it's irrational doesn't mean it's any less fearful.
Or true for you.
Or true for you. So with science and action and reaction, you know, we attract what we fear the most. And that can happen in a current lifetime or a future lifetime or a past lifetime. Time is not linear. The psychology of fear, you have to learn how to heal this within you. You have the power. And the whole point of this show is to give you bits and pieces so you can start to take your power back. No one has a perfect life. There's no learning in perfection. We all come here with issues and karma. And as we've said before, some people incarnate here with a cute little Kate Spade handbag, and others come in with semi-trucks full of karma. It just is. We all have different things to work out. And from a spiritual point of view, ask God for help. Ask for a teacher to show you the way, or ask for a teacher to come to you. And teachers may be somebody that might be a boss, a coworker, or it could be a spiritual teacher. It takes on many forms. But if you do find yourself with a teacher, ask them questions. Don't be afraid to ask, why do they know what they know? What is their path, or what did they study? Don't ever be afraid to ask those things. The more spiritualists we have that actually study and not just trust spirit, it's going to put the whole world in a much safer place.
You've been listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio, and get this out. If you have a question or comment, you can contact us at questions@thekarmicpath.com. Special thank you to The Oil Lounge, our wonderful sponsors.
And go to theoillounge.com and check them out.
Thank you to our producer, Kat Grebe, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Karmic Path Radio Show. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time as we explore the fascinating elements of karma and how to make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology. Both of us are seasoned psychics living ordinary lives in public education and the military. Tina and I both have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to share this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with The Karmic Path. For more information, visit thekarmicpath.com.